Let me start my talk by first thanking Ken and Joe for making my visit possible to such a beautiful and inspiring place, and for arranging a very nice workshop. So in this talk, I'll be presenting a solution to a large class of two-dimensional supersymmetric QCDs with 0,2 supersymmetry. Let us start by somewhat of an overview. A supersymmetric gauge theory in general can realize a variety of phases at low energies. Broadly, one can group them from the nature of the Hilbert space at zero energies. So the worst case scenario in some sense is that the supersymmetry is dynamically broken. So the zero energy Hilbert space is empty. Second scenario is that you get a massive theory. What this means is that the zero energy Hilbert space is gapless. It's gapped. The first excitation after the vacuum has non-zero energy. So this is a very broad type of classification. Perhaps the most interesting scenario is when you get a massless theory, where the H0 is gapless. And it could either be the Hilbert space of a free theory, or interacting theory. So in my talk, I'll be interested in some sense the most interesting of the cases, which is when the theory flows to an interacting conformed field theory. And I would give an explicit description of this conformed field theory for theories which do flow to this particular fixed point. I mean, one big hurdle in studying 0,2 supersymmetric gauge theories is not knowing when the supersymmetry is dynamically broken. In fact, it is generally believed that most of the supersymmetric theories with 0,2 supersymmetry break Suzy dynamically. So in this scenario, in fact, it becomes more important to have a systematic way of knowing whether the supersymmetry is going to be preserved or is going to be broken. So until recently, most of the analysis of this kind involved elaborate methods and case-by-case study. But very recently in this paper and also Benini and collaborators, we proposed a matrix model for a given gauge theory that calculates the Witten index of the gauge theory, which tells you whether the supersymmetry is going to be dynamically broken or preserved. In fact, it does much more. It calculates what is called a superconformal index. Which, in addition to serving as a probe for supersymmetry breaking, it also distinguishes between a gap phase and gapless phase. And there is a very systematic prescription for calculating it for a given gauge theory. It's a matrix model. I should perhaps also comment that, to best of my knowledge, 0,2 supersymmetric theories are the only class of theories where the superconform index does what it's meant to in some sense, in that it probes dynamical supersymmetry breaking. I don't know of any other examples where one has a systematic way of checking whether the supersymmetry is preserved in the infrared. Okay. So let me illustrate what I mean by drawing a phase diagram of 0, 2 supersymmetric QCDs. So 0, 2 supersymmetry in two dimensions admits the following representations with which you can build a gauge theory. The matter representations can be chiral multiplex, phi, which obeys d bar plus phi equals 0. The on-shell degrees of freedom for this multiplet is a complex scalar. And a right moving fermion. So right moving is the part where I have supersymmetry. This is left, this is right. Secondly, one can have Fermi multiplet. Shell degrees of freedom is essentially one left moving fermion. And of course, we have a vector multiplet, which is essential for building a gauge theory. And its on shell degree of freedom can just be encoded in the field strength multiplet, which is a Fermi multiplet, lambda. So the on-shell degree of freedom with this guy is just the Gaugino in the vector multiplet. So in spirit, the class of 0, 2 theories in two dimensions is very similar to that of supersymmetric QCDs in four dimensions, in that it realizes all sorts of all of these phases here. But because we have two types of matter multiplets available, we have more freedom in constructing a QCD. So the QCD of the interest is the following. So we have a UNC gauge theory, with NB chirals in the fundamental, NF Fermi in the fundamental, so if I were to draw it in a notation which is familiar to most of us here, that is as a quiver, I can denote the Fermi multiplet by a dotted line, like so, and the chiral multiplet like this. But because the number of right moving fermions and the left moving fermions is different, that couples with the gauge theory, this theory is anomalous. The gauge symmetry is anomalous. So what we need to do to cancel this anomaly is to add UNC plus NF minus NB more chiral multiplets that are in the antifundamental. This cancels the anomaly for the non-abelian part of the gauge symmetry, but the abelian part still has anomaly. So in order to do that, in order to cancel their anomaly, we could introduce two Fermi multiplets in the determinant representation. So determinant representation is something that we don't usually represent in the quiver. So this is our invention to just.
But when you're saying it's gauge anomaly, in 2G it is should be equivalent to some kind of sigma model, right?
Yes, it is.
And in sigma model, is it the same condition for anomaly cancellation?
Because yeah, The CH2, the you know, the gen second chain does not match for the vector bundle and the base. That's what the gauge anomaly condition maps to.
So do you have to choose UN rather than SUN?
Yes, it's a UNC gauge theory.
Yeah, this is a matter of choice, or?
This is what I choose to study. And also, I add a mesonic field, which is a Fermi multiplet, that couples to the two chiral fields like this. And in addition to the usual gauge interaction, one can add a superpotential type interaction, which couples these three fields. So let this be phi, let me label the fields. Let this be psi, the fields that we added to cancel anomaly, let us denote them as P, and let the mesonic fermions be gamma.
But overall, you have, when you added all the stuff, you have kind of similar number of left mover and right movers, or what? What's going on? I mean, total balance.
Yes, the thing that couples to gauge, yes. That's what I want to do, to balance them. But not in the whole theory, they are not the same because of these guys, for example.
But and those are not gauged, right? I mean,
yeah, they're neutral under gauge selection. So the superpotential term, which is usually called J term in the 0-2 literature, is just simply the following, which corresponds to the loop here. We also add an FI term, corresponding to the gauge multiplet here. As I said, lambda is the field strength multiplet of the vector that is gauging the symmetry here.
And what is gamma?
Gamma is this guy here, this meson, fermionic meson. So now I can draw a phase diagram, essentially describing how the low energy theory looks like for various values of these numbers. And that follows from calculation of superconformed index.
I'm sorry, but when you're writing this, phi and p are chiral, right?
Yes.
And gamma is also chiral?
It's a Fermi multiplet.
So all fields are there chiral,
yes,
under integral over d theta.
Yeah, they obey this.
So then why you need theta bar equals zero? Then it's automatic, right? There, in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I see.
So I plot the phase diagram in this NCNF plane for a fixed value of NB. And this is how it looks like. So in this area here, you have SUSY reserved, while outside you have dynamically broken SUSY. And on these lines, there are free fermions. That's what you see at low energies here also. So this is a very nice way of understanding. You know, it summarizes then the low energy physics of a large class of theories. In particular, one famous 0,2 theory is the so-called heterotic CP1 model, CPN model, which appears as a low energy theory on the vortex in NF equals N, sorry, consider 4D, N equals 1 superangles, with NF equals NC. And on this guy, if you consider the vortex of this particular theory, the low energy theory of that vortex is 0-2 CP N model. if you want to describe this theory in terms of a linear gauge linear sigma model, it is just a U1 gauge theory with n chirals and n Fermi.
N chiral, n?
Fermi, n Fermi multiplets, sorry.
Yeah, but say this kind of heterotic model by Shiffman and Jung and Tong,
there
I think it's it is this way, it's like 2-2, so there are
yeah, it's n chiral fields in 2-2, but adjoint removal.
No, first of all, it's n minus 1, not n.
Well, this is n minus 1 model.
Right.
So it is
n minus 1 model, it is n minus 1 field.
No. After gauging by U1, you will get rid of one dimension. After imposing D term and then quotienting by
the one would be abelian one, right? The one which kind of not non-abelian, right? Because if manifold would be CPM, you are saying that the CPM minus 1 multiplied by C or something like that.
No, I just want to consider 0,2 CPM minus 1 model. And it is given by
CPM U1. Minus 1 model, there are N minus 1 field, right? In 2-2 case, for example.
No, I don't think so.
When you go to the linear, in the linear
theory, it's... But the physical content of CPM minus 1, how many field you have, say, for CP1?
Two.
Two for gauge formulation.
Yeah, I'm talking about the gauge formulation.
But then it's only ratio of the field which enters. Then it's not, it is one field for CP1 because it's a ratio of the field which enters.
I agree, but in the gauged formulation, you have one more, and that's what I'm talking about here.
No, right, there is one more, but one of those is a kind of gauge artifact.
Yes.
You can put it one.
Yes.
One is a field, so yes. In this way it's N minus
okay.
One here.
Yes, yes. So if I want to write this theory in terms of this theory, we can immediately identify that NB.
And it is still not the same because there, in their model, you have this whatever N or N minus one field dependent formation, and then you have one extra, you have N minus one both left and right, and then you have additional right movement.
So
in this way, you have the same number, right?
Same number of fermions on the left moving and right moving side, which is necessary, in fact, to cancel the anomaly.
Yeah, but
they interact in a different way. You can think of it as a 2,2 model with n chiral fermions and n chiral multiplets, but the adjoint chiral, the 0,2 chiral, has been integrated out.
Right.
But this is what you will get in the 0-2 language.
In the model formulation, you have a number of bosonic field and number of fermionic field in this way. Number of this model very different because maybe because you have one which is not important. But anyway, there it is n minus 1. Field in 2-2 model, and then one additional right mover. That's it. One additional Fermi. Besides that, so in this way, it's
okay. Maybe we should talk.
Okay.
I think I'm sure of this.
No, yeah, but I'm particularly interested in this, so I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I mean certainly we could talk. So NF in this language is n minus 2 because there are two fermions that are in the determinant representations, which for the U1 is just the fundamental representation. And if you look at where this model lies, it lies precisely here. And you can see that the supersymmetry is dynamically broken. So David Tong, for example, studied this model in quite a bit of detail. And it was, you had to do some analysis to show that the supersymmetry is dynamically broken. But here, you can just see that from the computational superconform index, that you get zero when you calculate the matrix model.
Yeah, but it means that if you have changed MC and you're going along the line of MC, then you have broken, non-broken, broken, right?
Yeah.
Looks like.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. In fact, it will become more interesting if I change variables. So if I...
This space diagram is for arbitrary coefficients in the superpotentials and Feynman-Yoffe terms?
Yeah, those don't matter for the low energy theory.
No, but if the potential, for example, is zero, then two is not broken or is broken? Let's, okay, what is the limit of where you have not 0,2 but 2,2?
Sorry, this, for this model, this is just absent because there is no gamma fermion.
Uh-huh.
So this is not just not present here for this model.
So in this way, there is no limit where you have 2,2 case?
You can think of, as I said, you can think of it as a 2,2 case deformed and sending the superpotential to zero.
Which makes it 2,2, or can you make it 2,2?
But this is not the way I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it from 0,2 point of view. I don't, the 2,2 thing has been integrated out. The adjoint has been already integrated out.
Okay.
So you can, but you're right. I mean, you can indeed think of it as a deformation of a 2,2 theory. Okay. Now I change my change variables. So let me write this as N1, this is N2, this is N3. Then the anomaly condition fixes this in terms of these guys to be N1 plus N2 by 2. And now if I draw the phase diagram in terms of Ni over N coordinates, where N is this N1 plus N2 plus N3, then the parameter space looks like a triangle where the distance of a point from each sides is these coordinates. These are homogeneous coordinates. And this parameter, this particular space of theory is where the supersymmetry is preserved. It looks like this. So you already see that there is a nice Z3 action on the space of theories, and it hints at some sort of an equivalence. So indeed, what you can do is try to see if there is indeed some sort of a property that is relating the three theories. You can calculate the flavor anomalies for each non-abelian symmetry here, and they will be following. So for N1, the flavor anomaly for this guy, it's going to be, it's very easy to check. You can just do it now also. For this guy. And you can indeed see that this is invariant under permutation, cyclic permutations of n's. I mean, you can go back once you know that there is some sort of a symmetry. You can check the entire superconformy index itself, which is an expansion in terms of theta functions and all sorts of variables. And that turns out also to have this property. So from here, we are led to conjecture what we call the triality for 0,2 theories. Which is in very similar spirit to the Seiberg duality, in the sense that three theories flow to the same physics. Three theories are related to the cyclic permutation of n's. So I should also mention that these theories have three U1 symmetries also. And their anomalies, so they act essentially on this node, and their anomaly is n times n1. N is the sum of all n's times n1 divided by 2. The u1 acts on this node here, and this anomaly is n times n2 divided by 2. And this guy's anomaly they do act on these omega fermions with some charges, but giving those charges is not particularly illuminating. Now, as you flow down to low energies, the Poincaré supersymmetry, the space-time symmetry of the gauge theory will get enhanced to the entire Virasoro symmetry on the left moving side. while on the right moving side, it will get enhanced to n equal to 2 superconformal symmetry. Moreover, one has these flavor symmetries, which are SU. The flavor symmetries is essentially product over I equals 1 to 3 SUNI times U1. And those get enhanced to Kac-Moody symmetries. And their levels are essentially related to their anomalies that you calculate here. And they're twice the anomaly. I should also say that the sign of the anomaly determines whether they are going to be the right moving symmetries or the left moving symmetries. In this case, all the anomalies are negative. That means they are actually left moving symmetries. So the Virasoro that acts on the left moving side, it gets enhanced to the entire Kac-Moody algebra with these levels.
Left moving.
And on the right moving side, you just have n equals to 2. Superconformal.
When you say n equal to 2, you mean how many?
The entire one, the super Virasoro.
I mean, how many super charges?
Two. Okay. And at low energies, one can also calculate central charges of the theory using, let's say, C extremization. You know that the supersymmetry relates the right moving central charge to the R symmetry, like so, while the left moving super central charge can be obtained from the right moving one by using the fact that they are just differing by gravitational anomaly, which can be calculated by, I should put gamma 3 here. It's gamma 3. And this, when you calculate, it gives you, here when I write ni, ni has been defined as n minus ni. So this will be important, this dictionary. So let me write it here. So we see that they are also cyclically symmetric under the permutations of n's, as we expect from triality. Now we can take the left-moving algebra and calculate what is the Sugawara central charge of this Kac-Moody symmetry. And that precisely matches the left-moving central charge of the gauge theory. So what that suggests is that on the left-moving side, there are nothing but currents of the left. Of the symmetry. Let's call the symmetry H. So this particular observation simplifies the low energy spectrum immensely, especially because now you can have only finitely many modules of the left moving symmetry. So I can write the complete Hilbert space at low energies as tensor product of left moving WZW with symmetry H, and its module is labeled by lambda, tensored with some right moving module lambda where this is a module of n equals to 2 supersymmetry, superconformal symmetry. Of course, we don't know what this is. This, in addition to serving this particular equation, in addition to serving as a restriction over the left moving spectrum, it also serves to define what this is. And our job, if we want to find the complete solution, is to identify this guy.
So lambda justice is handled by the integer representation.
Yeah.
Say, generically, you're in this, in the broken Suzy phase, right?
No.
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 So where are you in your diagram?
This is my area of interest.
So where the supersymmetry is not broken?
Yeah, where you flow to an interacting CFT.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So.
But in principle, you can ask similar question even in the broken phase.
Yeah, one could ask. Yeah. But there are various tools that I use here that are not available why the supersymmetry is broken. But it's definitely a good question. I mean, here, even though supersymmetry breaking is broken, the theory could still be gapless and be described by a non-trivial CFT. Okay. So now what will help me determine these particular modules is the modular invariance of the partition function. So let me define this. No, superconformal index doesn't capture, for example, the left moving guys that couple to non-BPS stuff here. So here, tau is the complex structure of the torus that couples to the L0 eigenvalue. Similar to tau bar couples to the NTL0 eigenvalue. Here, eta bar is the Jacobi type variable that couples to the R symmetry on the right moving side. While xi's are chemical potentials that keep track of the charge under the Kacmody cartons. And I'm defining it as a trace in the NSNS Hilbert space of the theory. So I'm putting antiperiodic boundary conditions on the fermions along the spatial circle. Of course, I have the temporal circle as well. The absence of -1 to the F means that I'm imposing antiperiodic boundary conditions along the temporal circle. So I can expect some sort of a modular invariance, namely S, I do expect, although T not.
When it's antiperiodic, then it's not like an index, right, then?
It's not an index, it's partition not function, index. The thermal part. Yeah. Yeah. But as you can see, the T invariance is going to spoil this property because it will change the temporal direction from here to here, which is periodic. I do expect, although, the invariance under S and T squared. So I don't quite know what the subgroup generated by these guys are called, but let's call this gamma 2. It's probably wrong. We'll see. Okay. I can use the structure of the Hilbert space to simplify this in terms of characters. Okay, I hope the distinction between this H, curly H, and this Kacmody is clear. I should also mention that this partition function doesn't quite have the S invariance. It has S invariance up to a modular anomaly, which I will ignore. It will work out consistently with the rest of things that I do, but specifying those modular anomaly factors could be cumbersome at each stage. So when I write down the partition function as some more characters of the a convolution of the character of the Katz-Moody modules and some right moving module, and impose the S invariance of this, I know how the Katz-Moody character transforms under the S transformation. It simply transforms like this. Where this is a constant matrix called the S matrix. Let me quickly put this back here. So this S transformation has the property that it squares the charge conjugation. You can see that by doing this particular transformation twice, you will see that tau is sent to tau, but psi is sent to minus psi, which is charge conjugation. So charge conjugation, nothing but conjugates the S matrix. So the S matrix actually obeys SS bar equals 1 condition, where S bar is the complex conjugate of the S matrix. So now you kind of know what needs to be done. If this transforms with an S matrix, this needs to transform with an S bar matrix in order for the partition function to be modular invariant. The most popular candidate for the right moving side then is the anti-holomorphic copy of H, which will give you the physical WZW model. But this is of course not going to work for us because we don't have any affine symmetry on the right moving side, but rather we have n equal to 2 super conformal symmetry on the right moving side. So let us list the properties of K that we know so far. First of all, it's a character of n equals to 2 supersymmetry. Second, it's a singlet under all affine symmetries. Singlet could be confusing. It doesn't transform under. Under any affine, except of course the R symmetry, the U1 R symmetry of this guy, and transforms. I should have mentioned this. So another candidate that does transform as S bar are the characters of the level rank dual algebra. So how can we make all this consistent? The most natural candidate is the characters of the Kazama Suzuki coset, G over H. because it's a Kazama Suzuki, it's n equal to 2. And this is going to be singlet, of course. These are the coset characters are only branching functions. They don't quite transform under the Katz-Moody symmetry, either corresponding to numerator or denominator. And also, as so as we will see, the characters of this guy can be made to transform as the level rank dual characters of H under S transformations. So let us first quickly see what I mean by these square brackets. So by this, I mean supersymmetric extension of a WZW model, the GWZW model. This means you take GWZW model and add at free adjoint fermions. I mean, this is just a review, quick review. So the currents are given as bosonic currents of this WZW model plus a bilinear contribution coming from size. As a result of this guy, you can determine the supersymmetric level to be the bosonic level plus the dual Coxeter number. Now, you can calculate the central charge of this guy using these prescriptions. So, the central charge of G, for example. Is the bosonic level, if you want. So you can use this formula. This is just the Sugawara type central charge corresponding to the coset. You can use this formula and calculate the central charge of this and match it with the right moving central charge of the gauge theory. And this implies that I have not determined what G is yet. So this equation helps me determine the central charge of G to be n squared. So you get quite a simple expression.
In this way, it was just kind of a non-interacting system, right? So you had the bosonic and you had fermionic. So in this way, it's, so you're adding up these central charges, but it's like two independent systems, right? So.
Well, I mean, the current is changed.
No, but I mean, there is no interaction between boson and those fermions, right? When you said it's free fermions, so that's why I'm not.
Yeah.
There is no interaction.
Yeah, no interaction. But if you do the coset, you do mod out those fermions. I mean, this denominator does act on that for those fermions. Mm-hmm. So, generating interaction. So now, what does this imply? So, doesn't quite imply. There are many groups whose central charge can be n squared. So, our central charge can be n squared. But we also know that this HT needs to be subgroup of G. So let me write down first what HT is. It's the level rank dual of this. And if you impose that this needs to be a subgroup of this, this implies that G is simply UN at supersymmetric level N, which is SUN at level N times U1 at level N squared. But you know that the bosonic level corresponding to this coset is zero. So the bosonic part of this coset just SUN to the zero, because if you use this formula, you can see that all the level comes from the dual Coxeter number. So this makes the bosonic piece of the G very simple, just given by the UN at level N squared. And now the characters of this coset are simply branching functions, which are given by a G representation, big lambda, and H representation, small lambda. And because it's a super coset, this would be also given in, this would also have an additional label corresponding to representation of SO. So I'm not going into too much detail about how these characters are defined. You can just think of them as branching functions, but in addition, you also have an action of the denominator on the coset fermions, level one. So now, because of this particular structure, you can see that under S transformation, these branching functions will transform accordingly as character of HT times character of G and times character of SO dimension G over H. But now what you can do is choose a very specific module of the numerator and the coset fermions so that this doesn't quite transform under S transformation. So for example, explicitly speaking, lambda zero is simply, this is a module of the U1 at n squared level. These are just representations of the U1. So this lambda zero, if you write down its character, it's just a theta function, which doesn't transform under modular transformation. Well, modular anomaly, but as I said, I won't emphasize that here. And this epsilon, which is transformation, the representation of SO, the coset fermions at level one, this is simply a singlet plus a vector. And this will also be a theta function, giving you a modular invariant representation under the numerators. So now this guy only transforms as a character of HT and it's a, you know, as we know, Kazama-Suzuki coset has a non-supersymmetry which is n equal to 2, so it's only a function of tau bar and the Jacobi variable eta bar. And once I have that, I pretty much solved the problem. I can see what K is. K is simply the level rank dual of C. This L matrix is the one that pairs the representations of H and HT under level rank duality. So all in all, the final result, let me just write it here. So this Hilbert space describes the complete low energy Hilbert space of this gauge theory, two dimensions.
How unique is this choice?
The non-uniqueness may appear in the choice of this matrix. Here I'm choosing a diagonal pairing between the group and its level rank dual, their modules. But as we know, there are multiple type of.
So the right, the title has to be is cause it is fixed for sufficient theory alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, this also is a very natural choice, because as we will see, if we want this solution to generalize to Kluwer type of theories, you do need a diagonal pairing. I will also say that at the end. I have still some time left. Okay, so I can quickly give an example, a concrete example of the solution. Write down the partition function fully for a specific theory. So consider the theory with n1 equals n2 equals n3 equals 2. And if you calculate this, it's just one. It's an abelian theory with this particular matter content. Its H, which is the left moving affine symmetry, is corresponding to each of these three nodes. And level rank dual of this guy, of course, is are there any questions so far? Okay, good. So this implies that the coset, the right moving coset, is this particular Kazama-Suzuki coset. And if you calculate central charge, this will give you C equals 1. So we know what this model is. This is just equals to 2 minimal model with C equals 1. And it admits only 3 modules, which I can label by the L0 eigenvalue, L0 bar rather, and Q eigenvalue, which is the J0 bar eigenvalue. And they are given by the vacuum module and this particular module here, its conjugate. And if I use that formula to calculate how it's paired with the representation of this guy, I get an elaborate formula which is the following. Let me just write some, a condensation of that formula. Just want to emphasize this to make sure that this is, to show that this is right moving times. Now I will write characters of this guy here, which are essentially the following. So these all things are functions of tau, meaning they're on the left side. So this, of course, is not very illuminating what I'm writing, but just to give you an idea that one can get it in a very concrete form. And it will also be important to what I will say next. Or if you wish, this is like the charge one period of this guy. One property to note here is that the partition function is invariant under cyclic permutations of these SU2 factors. So this, if you just cyclically permute them, I'm assuming the first guy is this guy, the second guy is the representation of this guy, and the third guy is the representation of this guy. I always maintain that. So if you cyclically permute this, this is symmetric. And this is the proof in some sense of the triality. So for this, you kind of needed the diagonal pairing. So at the level of partition function, you can see that all these theories flow to the same physics.
So the triality is just the Z3, not the full permutation.
Okay. So the Z2 element is charge conjugation.
The SU2 is for the same component in theory. Yeah. So shouldn't triality be completely triggering the inference?
No, here I'm assuming that the gauge groups, the flavor ranks are the same. And that's why it maps to symmetry of the theory in the infrared. Yeah. Now, as a result of triality, essentially, what this does is that combines all these characters of SU2 times U1 to the 6 into characters of E6. So you get an interesting invariant of n equals to 2 minimal model and affine E6 algebra. Which in fact is the low energy spectrum, that theory, moreover. So now you see an E6 coming out for the low energy theory. Now you can ask whether is there any way of seeing it in the UV. And indeed there is, because if you look at here, the determinant fermions and the fundamental fermions are the same representations for U1 theory, U1 group. So this SU2 and the SU2 that rotates them here get enhanced to SU4 symmetry. And your triality, so you have another frame where this SU2 comes here, that gets enhanced with this guy, make another SU4. Next frame, this SU2 makes SU4. So if you have an SU2, four SU2s are manifest. And two of these guys get SU4. Two of these guys give you SU4. Two of these guys give you SU4. This is an affine Dynkin diagram of the E6 symmetry. So you kind of expected that the E6 should come out at low energies from triality. Well, finally, I should say that this particular solution can be generalized to a even bigger class corresponding to Kribers. So I can take this theory and start gluing. So you can do this N1. now glue this theory to another such theory to give you something like this.
Further glue
this to another theory to give you something like this. And so on. All these theories have the property, the crucial property that we use, that their flavor central charge, or the Sugawara central charge, saturates the left moving central charge of the gauge theory. So all these arguments that I made here go through unaffected. And I can write this formula for a general, very general class of fluid fields. Okay, so lastly, I should mention one more thing that this coset makes contact with. This is the theory appearing on the world volume of domain wall junction in n equals 1 Supriang-Mills. So all these parameters, these n's, the discrete numbers, they essentially are correspond to the what vacua it separates at infinity, the domain wall junction. From there, this does appear. And in this picture, you can see the theory is cyclically symmetric automatically.
But you also mentioned this non-abelian strings as well, right? So it's kind of similar, right? Because junction looks like a string, right?
Yeah, in some sense. But these are quarter BPS defects. These are quarter BPS in n equals 1. The enhancement to 0, 2, I mean, so you would expect 0, 1. But the enhancement occurs because the cosets are very special. They are Kazama-Suzuki cosets. They're Kähler. So they get enhanced to 0, 2. So we expect, what we want to do is to basically look at the brain construction of such a thing and relate the 0, 2 theories to four manifold compactifications of six of the M5 brains, which we have been hoping to do in last few of our papers. So this provides one kind of a direction in which they could be done. It could be done. And secondly, I would also mention a point about which I don't know much, but these modular invariants. Now you can forget everything, and the modular invariant is just basically of the type H times G over HT for any H. So this gives you new modular invariants. I don't know how much they have been studied in the literature, but basically the property of these modular invariants is that they are partition functions of theories which have affine action as well as n equal to 2 action. And moreover, these do not have any exactly marginal deformations generically. So perhaps they could be attractive from heterotic string phenomenology point of view as well, the applications of which we have not explored much.
Do you have a brain construction on this?
Some of these theories have brain construction.
Could you hope to get an AES 3D duo where the CFT is exactly solved?
Yeah, I mean, we do want to look at that aspect of the problem. But,
so you can easily get larger in technique, right?
Yeah. But all these theories will be flavored theories. In fact, they're maximally flavored, as I said. You take these quivers, and you always end up with quiver, the flavor nodes. You cannot wrap this onto itself to start erasing flavor symmetries. That's because the anomaly conditions just doesn't allow you that freedom.
The changes would be more like Veneziano type thing.
Yeah, they would be Veneziano. So there is a graphical picture. If you want a graphical picture of these quivers, the elementary theory is described by a triangle inside a circle. And if you want to glue further to this theory, these other theories, they will correspond to gluing another triangle. Another gluing would correspond to another triangle, and so on. As you can see, the levels, so I should mention. This is just a graphical way of understanding these quiver theories. The elementary theory is described by a triangle inscribed in a circle. Circle's perimeter is big N. These arcs are small n. So this actually follows from the physics of domain wall junctions. But you can think of it as just a way of representing the data. And the bigger arcs, these are ranks of Lever symmetries. So the arc on the left side, if I orient this in this way, the arcs on the left side of this are levels of Lever symmetries, while arcs on the right hand side are ranks of the Lever symmetry for all segments. And now if you glue this theory, so gluing involves taking this theory, taking this theory, elementary theory here, and gluing it with this theory, roughly speaking, and identifying this. This is a different type of gluing that we are used to in four dimensions. I'm not gauging a common Lever symmetry. I'm identifying these Fermi multipliers. That's the way to do it because anomaly cancellation is compatible with this type of gluing. So what you see is that the rank of this is the level of this, and the level of this is the rank of this. So naturally, the next triangle needs to glue like so. So you can see that the level ranks are compatible so that the anomaly is cancelled. So all such gluings, all quivers, will be described by triangular gluings inside an inscribed circle. And the generalized triality would then mean that this whole picture is independent of triangulations, just given by polygons. And you can see, you cannot wrap this up. That mechanism is not available. The levels keep on decreasing. Ranks keep on increasing.
So you see the right moving mode is a bit more tension, and the left moving, could you link it to anything?
Okay. So, I mean, this was something that Davide Gaiotto did. He considered a domain wall junction of this type in SUN, n equals 1 theory in four dimensions. And the walls are labeled by the difference of domain vacuum units they differ by. And these map to N1 and to N3 of my N1 and N3. And the theory living here is the right moving coset that I described. Now, the theory living here have been discussed also in the literature, and that is actually a Chern-Simons theory, to which you can apply boundary conditions giving you a left moving WCW model. So together, this system of domain wall junctions with the boundary conditions gives you gauge theory.
Many of us have been here for a long period, but those who have been either long or short, we really appreciate what you've done.
Sure.
Yeah, it would be nice also to thank the staff for all of those.
Yes, absolutely.
Staff is not here.